podcast. We hope you're encouraged by this message.
So here we go. You ready? Some of these jokes are in the spirit of Father's Day coming up. All right. And Amy's not here, so I can get away with anything. All right. So there's this guy. I took my 8-year-old girl to the office with me on Take Your Kid to Work Day. As we walked around the office, she started crying. So I asked, what was wrong with her? As my colleagues gathered around, she sobbed, but Daddy, where are all the clowns you said you worked with? 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10. I like that one. I don't think I've got a laugh like that for the last 12 months. I told you, material's new. All right. I like that one. A wife asked her husband, could you please go shopping? By the way, can I just say to all the wives, if you're going to ask your husbands to go shopping, never give us more than one or two things to get at a time. There is nothing worse than going to Woolworths to get one or two things, and all of a sudden the text message comes through with, while you're there, can you get this? It's just way too many things at once, all right? Anyway, a wife asked her husband, could you please go shopping for me and buy one carton of milk, and if they have avocados, get 6. A short time later, the husband comes back with 6 cartons of milk. The wife asks, but why did you buy 6 cartons of milk? He said, well, they had avocados. It was a bit of a dagger. You don't get it? Think about it. Think about it. We just don't compute that well, us guys, all the time. All right. I think the first one's going to be the best one. One more. So I was struggling to get my wife's attention. So I simply sat down and looked comfortable. That did the trick. That's good. Is there truth in that? I have to confess, I have found an Instagram profile called @dadjokes. So that's where my material is going to come from for the next however long. So it's good fun. Dad jokes. All right. Let's come into the Word. I feel like I'm in a bit of a naughty mood. It's just surviving at our house. Like the kids are like, can we have a movie night and buy junk food? Yeah, whatever. So donuts, lollies, chocolate. And then we had, I don't even know what we had for dinner last night. It's just the diet's just thrown out the window. Do your own hair, wear whatever you want. It's just survival. Amy is going to be aghast if she knew what was going on. So anyway, all right, I want to share something, more a thought that's been sort of developing in my heart for the last few weeks and today and next week. So it's not really a series, it's just a two-part message. More a devotional thought today rather than a sermon, so we can all just sit back and relax and you can just let it receive it on the level that you're at. Next week will be the more challenging one of the two, all right? So it's good that you're here today. So if you're going to take a Sunday off, next Sunday will be the one to take off. Can't believe a pastor actually said that, can you? But anyway, today is just going to hopefully just introduce what I want to say, and then we'll get into it a lot deeper next week. I want to share more a devotional word, and it will be a challenging next week, but it's this idea that in the Bible, when you study the Bible, what you see from Genesis right through to Revelation are a number of metaphors that describe our relationship with God. There's not just one metaphor, there are several metaphors that the scriptures teach us in terms of the way people relate to God and the way God relate to people. For example, you know these, but let me just read a few. It talks about that we are the creation and God is the creator. We're his children and God is our father. We are the servants and God is our king. We are the sheep. God is the shepherd. We are the branch and he is the vine. We're the bride and he's the bridegroom. Any more? Anyone want to call out any more? There are just so many more. Test your Bible knowledge. We could go on and on and on, right? Metaphors to describe God's relational heart towards us and also the way in which we can understand this relationship we have with God. And each metaphor that we study helps us understand a relational dynamic we are to live out of and learn from as we walk with God. And perhaps for some of you, there'll be one relational metaphor that will mean more to you in a certain season over others. There'll be some that you just love. Like I've always just loved the shepherd and the sheep. I always just loved that metaphor. I've always loved the metaphor of father and children. There's lots of metaphors, and you'll all receive it, and depending on where you're at in life. But one of the metaphors I want to share today and next week is a very well-known metaphor, that's probably the most, I think, let me just say, most written about metaphor in devotionals, if you follow devotionals, and that is the relationship between the potter and the clay. God is the potter and we are his clay. So I want to look at that text this morning, and I realized I'd actually never done a sermon on the potter and the clay. So I just was looking at it, I just felt God lead me to some things and encourage you out of. So let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 to 6. In fact, this metaphor has always intrigued me. It's always intrigued me a lot. And so I felt to go and have a look at it freshly. So let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. And I don't think it's coming up. There's a few technical glitches. So I'm just going to read it from the NIV version this morning. And then we'll just look at some things and we'll pull some stuff out. Verse 1. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Oh, no, it's up. Thank you, Beck. Good job. Go down to the potter's house and there I'll give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel. Notice that. It was Jeremiah saw. He saw. He saw him working at the wheel, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Can I not do with Israel as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel." You read that before? Great, well-known passage. And I love that. God asked the prophet of the day, Jeremiah, who was his spokesman to the nation of Israel at the time, to come down to the potter's house and observe something from creation, from everyday life that God wanted to speak to him through. How many of you know that God still speaks to people through creation? Every day, if you are open, somebody once said that we are enrolled in the university of life. If you open your eyes enough, God is speaking and showing you things all the time if you're just willing to look and pay attention. And so he says, I want to show you something and I want you to observe this potter shaping the clay, and in observing it, you're going to learn something about the way I work and what I'm doing with the nation of Israel. You know, some things about God and the kingdom will only be learned through observation. Some things are learned through hearing. Some things are learned through seeing. You know, you will do, a really good thing to do is just to observe. All I do anyway is I love to observe people. It's one of my favorite things to do. In fact, I'm one of those guys at the airport that just loves to sit in airline and just watch people. Anyone else do that? Just watch people, especially in those transit hubs like Singapore and Dubai, and you're thinking, where are they from? Where are they going? And I can't believe they're wearing that. And you know, all of those things. And you just watch people because people are fascinating. People are not boring. People are infuriating at times, but people are fascinating. And so I learn a lot as a pastor just by observing the process that God is doing in people over the years. And one of the greatest privileges I have in terms of working with people or leading people is to observe the potter working on clay, living clay in this church over years, and getting to see how much they transform. In fact, I've watched, where are you, Josiah? Where are you, Josiah? I've watched you over the last 4 years just grow and change, and your teaching keep developing and just keep planting, keep humbling. And you might not even see you've changed, but you've changed, my friend. And I've watched that and I've seen God do that in you. I've seen Brian Kelly, where are you? Hidden up in the tech booth. Brian, I have seen you change so much in the last 5 years. You always had a really soft heart, but I've just seen this softness and this yieldedness and this surrender just happen over and over. And I could go on and on and on, just go around and encourage everybody. But it's a privilege to watch what God is doing in your life. You should do that, you know. You should watch people, not to judge people. Watch for the potter's hand. I think sometimes in the church, we're too quick to judge what hasn't been done or what somebody is not doing, rather than taking a moment to celebrate the progress. Let's take a moment to celebrate what God has done in people. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so in this passage, God's describing to Jeremiah what he's doing with the nation of Israel, that they are like clay on the potter's wheel being shaped and formed into the vessel that God wanted. And each and every one of us, you know this, is like clay on the potter's wheel of life, and God is shaping you and forming you and developing you and creating you and changing you and doing what he's doing. In fact, every person who accepts Jesus has a destiny on the potter's wheel. There's not a believer that does not have time on the potter's wheel. You're going to be on there. It's just a guarantee. And I think what's most important, or one of the most important truths in this text for you and I to remember, if God is the potter and we are the clay and He is shaping us and forming us, you have to understand that our destiny in life is as much about who we are becoming as it is about where we are going. Your destiny is actually more about who you are than it is about what you do. I want you to think about that for a moment. Your destiny and your calling comes out of your uniqueness. A lot of people, I don't know what God's called me to do. Well, find your unique difference. Find your shape. Find out what makes you different, and that'll probably give you a clue as to what you're called to do. God cares far more about who you are than about what you do. That's important understanding about destiny. I think it's important. And so He cares more about who you are. And so it's like, great, so you're successful in your career. But what kind of person have you become? So you've had some success, you've bought the house, you've bought the car, but did you become different in the process? So God blessed you, but did you become more generous? So did you become a more thankful person? You get what I'm saying? So, because sometimes in this relationship with God, it's more all about what God is giving me and where God is taking me rather than, God says, I want you to remember that it's about who you are becoming. I'm creating you from the inside out. Who we are matters, church. Jesus said, come follow me and I'll make you. I'll make you fishers of men. He says, come follow me and I'll make something amazing of your life. I'll create something of your life. I'll shape you and form you, and you'll become more than what you could ever be if you decide to follow me. I'll form you. Notice He doesn't say, come follow me and I'll give you. He gives us stuff. But that's not what He says. He doesn't say, come follow me and I'll give you. Not even come follow me and I'll take you, although He gives us things and takes it. Come follow me and I'll make you. Sometimes I think we forget about that. And sometimes I think we treat God like it's a transactional relationship. I do this and you do this. I've now followed you, God, and I've chosen to follow you. Therefore, now you have to give me this, this, and this. You have to make sure my circumstances are perfect. I never get hurt by anybody. I never go without. And all of a sudden, we have this transactional relationship with God, but God doesn't want a transactional relationship with you. He is relational. Like any good friendship and relationship, it's not based on what give and take. It's based on understanding who each other are. Is that making sense? So God says, Jesus says, come follow me and I'll change you. I'll transform you. And you know, I remember telling you, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that word God spoke to me at Redhead Beach in 2004. I'm not just taking you, I'm making you. I'm not just taking you, I'm making you someone. And I have found that every new level that God adds to me, every new step or every new thing He opens up tends to coincide with an understanding of who I am in Christ. Does that make sense? So the more I begin to understand the way God has wired me, the more He seems to open doors for me. Because God doesn't want duplicates, He wants originals. And so I think that's just an important thing. So Jesus says, come follow me and I'll make you, I'll transform you. Because here's the thing about clay, it was never designed just to stay a lump of clay. It was never meant to just stay a lump of clay. Clay was always designed to become something, a vessel, a pot, a vase, a coffee cup. Clay is not meant to stay in its purest form. It's meant to come something and create something. And that's because you have to understand the Christian life is a transformative life. The first miracle Jesus ever did when He started His ministry was what? He turned water into wine. His first ever miracle on the earth was a transformative miracle. To say, I've come to transform things. I came to transform lives. I came to transform hearts. I'll transform marriages. I'll transform cities. I'll transform nations. God is a transformative God. And that then begs us to ask this question. If we are not changing, then are we really following? If we are not changing, are we truly following? If we're not being transformed from the inside, can we truly say that we're following Jesus if we're never actually any different? Just a thought. I said this wasn't going to be challenging today. It'll be more challenging next week. But I think one of the greatest truths to settle in your heart this morning, if this is true and what Jesus is saying is true, that if He has the right to change you, to remember that you're not the potter. You aren't the potter. We're the clay. He's the potter. He has the right to do what he's doing. In fact, listen to what he says. Can I not do with you, Israel, as the potter does? Take out the word Israel. I wish Israel Cannon was here because he could actually, you know, can I not do with you, Israel? But can I not do with you, Jenny, as this potter does? Can I not do with you, Ra, what I will do? Can I not do with you, Lou? I'm not picking on people that need extra work, by the way. Can he not do what he wants? Does he not have the right to create what he, you know, out something out of what he purposed to be? And I think sometimes we, the clay, we have a tendency of clay, we want to tell God what things should go like and what we should be doing and what we should be, rather than to say, you know what, I'm just clay in your hands, Lord, and whatever you want me to be, God, I'll just cooperate with you. And I'll talk about that more next week. Because God is determined that you will become the shape that he intends. He's determined. Have you ever watched a potter make clay? Have you ever seen it? I'm going to talk about more of this at the end. But you go and see what's involved. It is very intentional. It is very deliberate. The potter is very intentional about you becoming what he's called you to be if you keep cooperating with him. It reminds me of this story. We're talking about it before church. In 2000, I think it was 2015, we were in Sri Lanka. Our other team was, Anne Rollins was with us. And I forget how many were on the team, but we were traveling somewhere and we stopped at a side, like a stall on the side of the road that sold pottery, all these beautiful ornamental pots. And Anne found this pot that she just fell in love with. Now, I'm not talking like a small pot. I'm talking like a pot like that big. I mean, it was an amazing pot, wasn't it? And so this was at the start of the trip. So she said, I'm going to buy this pot and I'm going to bring it home to Australia. Now, I'm like, this is going to be a rigmarole, getting that pot all the way from Sri Lanka to Australia. But she bought this pot and it made it home. But talk about a mission. So we get, as we leave, each and every one of us had to take a turn in holding the pot because every time she had to check the luggage in, you got to hold the baby now and hold the pot. And as we got to Colombo Airport, it had to be shrink-wrapped. We had to make sure that she had to make sure there was permission to even take it on the plane and it was checked and screened. And so she got this pot on, but we weren't going straight home. We were stopping in Malaysia on the way home for a one-night stopover. And because she couldn't check it in, it was hand luggage. So all the way from Colombo Airport into Kuala Lumpur on the train, we're carrying this pot all the way to Colombo, all the way into Kuala Lumpur. And I think you even put it to bed, didn't you? No. And then from KL Airport all the way to Sydney, and it made it all the way home, and it didn't even get broken. It made it all. That's because every single one of us had a time in carrying it, and we were like, had our lives threatened if we didn't get it home. Have you still got it, by the way? On the front porch. So she made it all the way home. Amazing. So into, and you know, as stupid as that story is, I think it does remind me that God is very determined for you to become the shape and the vessel that he intends for your life. God is very determined to do that. He's far more determined than you are. Just want you to know. But I guess as we move forward in this message, I think what encourages me most about this passage, more than anything else, it says that as God was creating the nation of Israel, as he was creating the clay, it says it became marred. It became marred. Marred means it became spoiled, distorted, flawed. It didn't become what the potter was intending it for it to become. And what encourages me the most about this story is even though the clay was marred, he didn't discard it. He didn't discard the clay. Do you know this is the gospel story in one verse? Do you know that? God created mankind from the dust of the earth. Go back and read Genesis. He says he formed mankind from the dust and he breathed his life into that dust. We became living, breathing human beings. But how many of you know that, you know, Adam and Eve screwed things up and disobeyed God, and sin came into the entire human race and it marred humanity. And every single one of us have struggled ever since with the marring of sin that entered into the human race all of those years ago. And Jesus, rather than discard the dust, rather than discard the clay, which by the right, he has the rights to. He's the creator. Cannot the creator do whatever he wants with his creation? And rather than discard the clay, which is the right of the creator, he says, no, I'm going to reform it. I'm going to send my son Jesus and he's going to redeem. I'm not going to quit on these people. I'm going to send my son Jesus to come and die a death on the cross and redeem humanity and put us back in relationship with the Master Potter. And God has been transforming and reforming and shaping and molding lives ever since to His glory. This is such good news. But I think for me, I read that, okay, that's awesome. I'm no longer marred by sin. I've been forgiven. I've been set free. I'm a new creation in Christ. But here's what I've come to understand. You and I are still marred clay in some respects. Anybody got any flaws? Anyone got any weaknesses? Anybody got any cracks? You know, I may not be marred by my sin anymore, but I'm very much marred by my flaws. I'm very much marred by my mistakes, my regrets, and my failures. And do you know, sometimes by my own actions and my own words, I'm like, God, I know this vessel you're trying to create in me, but I'm marring your work, Lord. I messed up again today. Maybe you don't feel that way. I'm just talking to real people this morning because I feel like on a regular basis, I don't measure up. That's just me speaking. And so I feel as though my flaws sometimes disqualify me from becoming the vessel that God is trying to create. I know God's trying to create great things out of my life, but so many times I look at my flaws and my weaknesses and my failures and I go, God, how could you make this vessel? How could you use this marred lump of clay that is Brad Hagen for your glory? Until I remembered that the potter specializes in reshaping marred clay. He specializes in taking marred, flawed, broken, messed up people. And as long as they just keep saying yes, God says, I'll keep forming you. I'll keep shaping you. I'll keep creating you. I'll keep forming you. What God was showing Jeremiah that day and what God should be showing every single person in this room, what should encourage every single person is in this room, it doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made, how many times you've messed up, how many screw-ups you make, how many mistakes, how many regrets, how many failures you have, the potter hasn't finished with you yet. He just keeps forming, he keeps forming, he keeps creating, he keeps shaping, he keeps doing it. He does not and will not ever discard you. Gee, that's good news. That is such good news for all the real people. Let me read this verse. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, just read this morning, I was like, thank you, Jesus. It says, we're confident of all this because of our great trust through Christ. It's not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. So my qualification to be on the potter's wheel is not because I'm a perfect piece of clay. It's because I serve a graceful potter who has decided in his own goodness and mercy to keep shaping my life. And I'm going to keep putting myself on the potter's wheel and letting God do what he wants to do. One of my favorite verses in Psalm 103 says, verse 14, for he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. You should remember that sometimes, that God all of a sudden doesn't all of a sudden get to a point and go, oh, I'm so shocked you did that. Oh, you blew it this week. You lost your temper this week. Oh, you didn't measure up this week. No, he remembers we are dust. He remembers we have weaknesses. He remembers we have flaws. But do you remember you're just dust? He knows we mess up. I want the band to come and join me. But here's the thing about dust. Dust mixed with living water becomes living clay. And in the hands of the master potter, this dust we call humanity, mixed with the living water of God's word and his spirit, can become something amazing, something unique, something powerful, something with purpose and meaning, something very, very special. It's what he's doing in your life. Is this encouraging you? This is just a devotional word this morning. It's not really a preach. It's just some thoughts to introduce this topic. He's forming you and he's shaping you. He's doing what he needs to do. Let me just finish with one final verse and then we might sing. Can we sing at the end? Maybe faithful to the end? Sort of fits the message. Can I do that? I know you weren't planning for that. Responsive. One final verse. Just don't tell Amy anything I've said today, all right? Just one final verse that I think is important to remember. It says in Isaiah 64, verse 8, yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. You are our Father. I find that interesting. In the same verse that talks about God being the potter, it references the fact that he's a father. In other words, that God is not some random cosmic entity. who's distant, he's personal. He's a dad. He's a father. If you ever encountered let me put it this way. When you meet a real dad, there's something that makes you feel safe and secure, right? About a dad. And the Bible says that God is our Father. You and I are in the Father's hands. You're not just in some random cosmic potter who's just doing it non-relationally. You are being shaped by the hands of a loving Father who knows exactly what He's doing with your life. Now, this is very important to remember, because I don't know if you've ever actually seen a potter work with clay. Go this week. I did some stuff this week and it was really interesting. Go watch YouTube. Google potter working with clay. I mean, it's violent. They get this clump of clay. The potter gets this tender, moist clump of clay. He goes up to the wheel and it's like he just goes slam. You seen that? Just slams it on the wheel. Anybody feel like they've been slammed this year? I'm serious. Anyone feel like they've been a little bit slammed in life? Just feel like boom. It's like, can't take any more, God. And not only that, once you're slammed, then the wheel starts spinning. 100 miles an hour, and it feels like things are spinning out of control. Felt like you've had a season where your life is just spinning out of control, round and round and round and round and round, slammed and spun. And if that wasn't enough, then He puts you in the fire. That's only stage three. But you know, in all of that, it's still a father. Because He knows through all of that, you're going to become something really special, something really unique. And if you'll just keep cooperating with the Father's hands, if you just keep putting yourself back into the hands of the potter and not get off the wheel, God can do something with your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You for encouragement in this place. We thank You that You're faithful. Yeah. Some of us have been slammed this year. Let's be honest. Some of us have felt just slam dunked by circumstances. Could it be, Lord, that You are getting our attention? Could it be, Lord, that You are doing something in us? Some of us have felt like our lives have spun out of control this year. Just things moving and spinning. I want to say to you by the Spirit of God, trust the Father's hands. Trust the Father's hands. He's faithful. He's faithful. He'll bring you through. He's shaping you. He's molding you. He's creating you. Don't quit on Him. Don't quit. He's creating a vessel that can carry more of Him, more of His goodness, more of His Spirit. You know, the bigger the vessel, the longer it is on the wheel. The bigger the vessel, the longer it has to stay on the potter's wheel. Some of you have felt like the season hasn't ended. It's because He's creating something big. He's doing something big in your life. It's going to use you. It's going to use you to pour out on people in a way that not even you could have imagined. He's faithful.